fiction feeds your fantasy. A little fiction dampens the reality. A little fiction. Hello and welcome to the Writing Cast. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 82, Prose versus Performance. Your resource this time is Horror Factor at fictionfactor.com/fiction.html. It's a large, well-organized list of horror magazines with market information, submission information, all that good stuff. I'll link to it in the show notes. And I am going to be doing NaNoWriMo this year, and I'm also doing a podcast along with Nano. It's going to be 1 to 2 minutes. It's going to be a daily podcast. I'm calling it NanoBytes, and I'll have a link to that in the sidebar and in the show notes as soon as I have it up. Many times when we talk about writing novels, we pull examples from movies. And that really only works when we're discussing the most coarse-grained elements of storytelling, like character archetypes, rising tension, denouement, starting in medias res, what's in the middle of things, that sort of thing. When it gets down to the nitty-gritty, the dialogue, for example, that all falls apart. The capabilities of the genres are vastly different. Okay. First, what's the character thinking? In a novel, you can show the point of view character's thoughts through interior monologue, for example. Joe moved through the ballroom. Although the guests were speaking in a dozen languages, some he'd never even heard of, he could understand them all. He didn't know how or why, but until he figured that out, it was best not to give any indication something strange was going on. How can that go onto the screen? We could invent snatches of dialogue for Joe to overhear, but if he reacts so that the audience catches on that something's amiss, it violates his intention of not letting on that something's amiss. He can tell someone that he understands the languages and everything, but that also violates the idea of him not letting on, and that doesn't happen in the prose version. So the options are different. In film, the most immediate element is the visual. That would correspond to the description in prose. But while fabulous scenery and vivid special effects propel a movie forward, long passages of description slow a novel down. Think of the first three chapters of Hardy's Return of the Native. It is dead dull reading, but it would make a fabulous movie. You'd need one good panning, established shot, and then film down to chapter 4, a man appears upon the scene. In prose, dialogue is the most immediate element, so that carries much of the drive of the story. Even so, accents are easy to establish and maintain on film, less so in books. Character emotions are easier to convey in narrative, especially complex emotions. Elizabeth Bennet could think of nothing but Mr. Darcy during her trip to Pemberley, but she doesn't speak of him to anyone, not to her family, not to anyone. And that is really hard to convey on a film. On film, all we have is the character's reactions, and those can be a facade. And in that particular case from Pride and Prejudice, there's nothing for her to react to until Darcy finally shows himself. Books have to be truncated for adaptation to movies. So the story structure of a novel, the pacing of a novel, isn't that of a movie. The best example I found is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Okay, spoiler alert, I'm going to be discussing elements of the novel in detail. So if you haven't read the book, and you should read the book because it's really good, at least to page 240 or so, then turn away now, catch up to about page 240, and then come back. In one scene, Lisbeth is raped. Afterwards, she plans how to respond. She goes through her list of reasons she won't report it. We're told she knows of crisis centers, but won't go because she feels those are for victims and she's no victim. She then mentally runs through her list of friends, all 10 of them, to call for advice, weighing the pros and cons of each. And it turns out she has no confidant, no one she can really talk to about this. So she can't discuss this with anyone, ergo there's no dialogue. It would violate the design of the character for her to journal it. Just not that kind of character, or to talk to herself. It's an important scene because it sets up what her next actions are, and it tells us a lot about the character. It wouldn't translate well to film at all. I know there's a movie version of it, and I'm curious to see what they do with that scene. But as it's written, it would not carry to film. It would have to be changed. On the other hand, that quick shot of a young Arnold Schwarzenegger in the latest Terminator film didn't carry anything close to the same punch in the novelization. As an aside, the ending to the novelization is a lot better than the ending to the movie. So if you didn't see it, you might want to check out the novel instead. It actually is a little bit better. And if you enjoyed the movie, you might want to check out the novel and just see how it changed. It's a lot of fun. And I believe there's going to be another book in August set in the same universe. I'll link to it if I can find the link to it, I'll put it in the show notes. All of this is why the best advice to writers is read. Me, I just finished reading The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and now I'm reading Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is interesting as a story, of course, but it's also interesting in how the writing style is so different than we're used to. We can be in Blomkvist's head, and suddenly we're told Blomkvist didn't know this, but if he had, and that's a dear gentle reader aside, and we don't do that normally, not anymore. We used to, but the modern convention for English literature is that point of view is sacrosanct. We stay in one character's head from the beginning of the scene to the end. The book is front-loaded with a huge info dump, a really well-done info dump, but still an info dump, so that the first reaction to the story problem doesn't happen until somewhere near page 95. It's interesting to look at how this novel's put together, if only to see how it differs from modern English conventions. So let's see, this week I finished the next installment of Lightbulb Man. I've gotten some great feedback on my set novel, so I'm editing that. I finished a nonfiction project, and I made some headway on a poetry collection I'm working on. And I've gotten an idea for my next project, and like I said, I'm joining Nano, so I have to start outlining for that. Your prompt for this time: take a scene from a TV show or movie and convert it to narrative with all of the tools prose offers, so not just a reporting of the events, and then take a scene from prose and convert it to a script for film. That should wrap us up for this time. Until next time, feed the muse and keep writing. Some of the music provided tonight from the Pod Show, PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.
Look up and reach down to a box of dreams and pick anyone you like. Choose the one that will make you the happiest, but you gotta picture it from all sides. That should be so easy for you because your dreams are all the same.